as we, as gardeners, we're always preparing for next year. And if your watering regimen was not the way you wanted it, Tree Diaper, get it now, can help you get your garden off to the right foot next year.
Yeah, if your plants could talk, maybe this year they might have a few complaints about not being properly
watered.
Did
you kill them because you didn't water them?
Right, either too much or too little. How do you water properly? You take the guesswork out by using Tree Diaper. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that stabilizes soil moisture by taking up excess water and slowly releases it when plants need it. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water slowly and releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. It's made in the USA. You can find out all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com. It'll keep your plants happy.
Well, nut trees. It may not be the most exciting topic one may decide to discuss. Apples and pears and cherry trees are much more exciting. But nut trees are important for a variety of reasons. And there are nut trees that can be grown in the colder climates of the United States.
You're a nut tree.
We won't get into that.
Yeah, so there are – one thing I want to talk about before we before we talk about what trees can be grown in colder climates is keeping in mind about a few things before you plant your tree.
Mm-hmm. Or one, any tree.
Or
any tree.
Any tree. Or bush or dig into the ground. You want to call Digger's Hotline. So you want to determine where you're going to put this thing. But also before after that, you want to call Digger's Hotline and you want to have them come out. You want to call them 72 business hours before you dig. You want to show them or mark where you want to dig, and then they're going to come out and determine if there's like a utility line or whatever and let you know, like, you can put this tree here.
Right. Well, we had it marked in the front yard when our garden, we were going to put the garden in. There was more lines and colors on the ground and underground gas line, electrical line, once was a phone line. There's like four or five different colors out there that we had no idea existed. And that
like
we
a utility rainbow.
Yes.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. So then you also want to know how big this tree is going to get.
Just like in vegetable planting.
Yeah.
Oh, we can plant 75 plants here when really you only can get four in there because they're going to get awful big.
Right. So you want to determine, okay, this tree might get 10 feet tall. It might have a canopy. So that's the width of the top of 20 feet across. And you need to think about that. You need to look up and see, okay, I don't have any other trees it might be hitting. I don't have any wires or, I don't know, your neighbor's gazebo. I'm not really sure, but you want to keep that in mind too.
There are ways in which you can control a tree growing by cutting the canopy and shaping and molding it. However, you want to know that, you know, if you're going to commit to that, because that's some work to do every year. You've got to continue to shape and mold and shape and mold. Otherwise, you just let the tree grow and do its own thing, and it can get quite substantial. So if you're going to commit to it, you want to commit to that, but be aware of that. Nut trees are a great addition to many landscapes. Now, we want to preface it by saying that many nut trees are slow growers and require a lot of space. And most times in a traditional urban setting, there's not enough space for a tree of that size. Many trees can start producing or yielding a product 3 to 5 years after it's planted. Now, this is once you get it from the garden center. We're not talking about taking the nut that you get that's organic and planting it and in a cup and growing it that way. That can be done, but it's much better to invest in a plant start or a tree and then put it in the ground.
Right. So one of the fastest growing nut trees and can also be like a hedge or a smaller tree is hazelnut. The American hazelnut is one, and this one is more like a hedge versus a tree. And it's about it's in good for zones 4 to 9. And it can get 15 to 18 feet tall.
For people who are not familiar with the terminology hedge, what does that define? What is the definition of
like
that?
It's
mean?
More of like a bushier plant.
A large shrub?
Like a, yeah, like a large shrub. Yeah. So that's one.
And the 4 to 9, that's a very large area. Now, the problem with, you know, a lot of these nut trees is we have a lot of critters in the backyard, squirrels, that like nuts. So you want to kind of be aware, you know, you want to do your research and see, one, I want this to grow in my yard. Can it grow in my zone? Two, what is the success rate of other like species growing in the area that I live? Is it worth it?
Right. So I got this information from a lot of our information on trees from the Arbor Day website, and because they care about you growing trees and maintaining trees and all this stuff.
Go to the source.
Yeah, go to the source. And they also have their own nursery where you can buy these trees, and they have their own hybridized hazelnut tree. And the reason why they hybridized the hazelnut tree so that the growing zone was – the hardiness zone was wider –
Larger.
And this one is a hybrid hazelnut from the Arbor Day Foundation, whatever. And it combined two different species to make this growing zone more friendly. And it's for 3 to 9, zones 3 to 9. It's called the hybrid hazelnut.
Which now, hybridization is not a bad word in the horticultural world. It's, as you said, they take two of the same species, cross them to get a better end result. Not a genetically modification of what, and none of that. It's just horticulturist or botanist help nature along. Nature has been hybridizing things. When two plants cross, it builds a stronger species in order to keep that alive for thousands of years.
Since the dinosaurs. So, yeah. So the Arbor Day Foundation does a lot of this where they make up these hybridized trees. And it a lot of times is one to for the growing zone, but also it provides a home for wildlife, and it's going to.
It's not a quick process.
No, and it's going to live for a long time. So that is, they have their own. It's called the Arbor Day Farm Hazelnut. So another option is an English walnut, but walnut trees, black walnut trees, can cause issues to vegetable.
They
gardens.
Produce a toxin in its root system called, I believe, it's Julong. And it can persist in the soil up to 80 feet from the trunk and can sit in the soil for many years, even following the removal of the tree and the roots. There is no known method of accelerating the removal of that toxin in the soil. The toxin is created by the tree for a security, you know, basically so the tree doesn't get choked out by other vegetation. There is some vegetation and some vegetables that will grow in that toxified soil. That toxification does not get uptaken by the plants, nor do you consume it. It's just a way of nature controlling the area around the tree.
So if you have a large space to grow a tree, or maybe you want to put a tree in your front yard and you live in an area where you can't grow vegetables in your front yard, but you can grow a tree. You could put the walnut tree in the front yard if you really like walnuts. I would probably do like a hazelnut personally. But yeah, so there's this, it's called the Carpathian English walnut. It grows in zones 5 through 9. It does get 40 to 60 feet tall. Uh-huh. So that's a commitment.
Well, there's a lot of just naturally in the woods. You hike. You've probably seen this. And a lot of yards have black walnut trees that's already established. It's been there for many, many years. The joke is in the homeowners association is you can't have any – you can only have trees in the front yard. But they forget, gray area, that they don't say that you can't have fruit-bearing trees. Some of the – you
right,
know, yeah.
Right.
That's so called gray area, folks. That you read the rules not for what's in it, but for what's not in it. That's called gray area.
And this is who I live with. So anyway, I'm just the rule breaker.
Right.
You look for the gray area.
Well, like the place I used to work, they said you can only have water in clear liquid plastic bottles. There wasn't a rule in the handbook that didn't say you couldn't have water in a clear plastic container that had a fish in it on your desk.
Right.
Gray area.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyway, so that's one of the walnuts. And then there's another walnut called Hall's Hardy Almond. So almond tree. And it's just a little almond tree. It gets about 10 to 15 feet tall, very manageable. And it does take, it's for zones 5 through 8.
And now with some of these trees, you want to be aware that there is, can be quite a water consumption requirement for them in order to produce the nuts in order, you know, to harvest them. And not all the trees, not all the nut trees that you may want to grow in your specific area can be grown in your area. There are a lot of nut trees that are warm climate, Southern California, Southern United States, that will only grow down there, similar to some of the, like a tropical type of plant or tree. So you want to be that be aware of that, that not everything can be grown where you're at. That's just part of how geology and geographical stuff works, that not everything can be grown everywhere.
That's very true. And we learned, we had a guest on a few weeks ago, that you can grow figs.
Yeah.
Stephen Biggs, he's
up in Canada, and you can grow lemons trees in a lot of places. So there are plants, trees that have been, or not necessarily have been hybridized, but are naturally adapted to colder climates. I know there are peach trees that will grow in the Minnesota, northern Minnesota area, because they've adapted or they've been hybrid. I don't know what the story is on those, but they can grow up there when a traditional peach tree cannot.
Right, and that's definitely something to keep in mind, is that if you are looking for an edible tree option, you might think, oh, well, I live in this climate and there's no way I can grow this tree. But there might be.
You'd be surprised at what you can find.
Now, you can't necessarily grow an avocado tree in the north, but you can find something that is applicable to where you live and could produce a lot of delicious things for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Holly, summer's over. We know this. Nights are getting colder. Days are getting shorter. Days are getting colder, too. And frost is in the forecast in some parts of the United States. But we have forgotten about our lawn because we're ready and worried about upcoming holidays, and we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Well, I mean, we can worry about the upcoming holidays, but we shouldn't forget about our lawn.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about those yards or those Japanese beetles. They may be gone, but they're not far. Not only did they feast on your roses and berries this summer, they laid eggs in your turf so that they can start again next year. Take a stand with Phylum's Grub Gone. Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT granule that specifically targets scarab pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granular with a spreader, irrigate it into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is Grub Gone easy to use, because it is easy, it's the only non-chemical choice that effectively controls grubs. And the best part about it, it's non-toxic to bees and other pollinators, so you don't have to worry about them picking it up and taking it back to their hive and killing the hive off. You can get your hands on some Grub Gone from PhylumBioProducts.com, the natural choice. That's PhylumBioProducts.com, bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.